You mentioned having a Zoom interview with Essengay in terms of the pre-draft process. When did you first meet him in person? What was your first impression when you did?
So I personally have not met him in person. We'll meet him this weekend. When we do go scout kids, you know, there's so many rules that prohibit us from having interactions with him. But again, the Zoom interview was great. He came across as, you know, bright, articulate, funny, super engaging, and we just got a really great feel from him.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, I suck so you don't have to. But I guess not ever meeting a guy you draft was, that sucks, right? That's,
it's not good.
We've got a front office that doesn't meet the guys they draft and a front office that avoids first round picks in trades. I got a lot to talk to Ricky O'Donnell about. Follow him on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky. There's several things we'll get to that are on his Twitter feed, including quite the video breakdown of the Bulls' first-round pick. But first, Ricky, thanks for joining me. The week just keeps getting more newsy, doesn't it?
So that time of the year in the NBA, a lot of trades, free agent signings, going to be going down over the next 10 days. So it's a fun time for the calendar and basketball fans, but just wish you had a little bit more faith in Arturis Karnišovas to actually have a sensible plan.
Well, no. But since we don't, we're kind of getting used to this. It's sort of the Stockholm syndrome, right? You just fall in love with your captors because they keep get to continue the job that they failed at on a regular basis. But let's discuss that in no particular order. The first one is the trade today. Isaac Okoro from Cleveland to the Bulls for Lonzo Ball. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so the first thing I thought of is that John Hollinger in The Athletic reported a few months ago that the Bulls turned down a trade at the deadline that would have brought back Marcus Smart for the Grizzlies' first-round pick. Essentially, the Grizzlies were trying to do a salary dump. They paid out their first-round pick to do it. The Grizzlies completely collapsed at the end of the season. That ended up being the number 18 overall pick. The Bulls turned that trade down. I certainly think that would have been a much better trade than the one the Bulls took today for Isaac Okoro. Now, Okoro does have some talent as a player. He's a very good point of attack defender. He always plays with a high motor. He's pretty good in transition. But he's just a flawed player at his core because he can't do much off the dribble. He's not a playmaker, and he's not a reliable shooter. So you saw when the Cavs actually built up a really good team this year, 64 wins, number one seed in the East, Isaac Okoro's role just got smaller and smaller as the season went on until he essentially got played off the floor in the playoffs. This trade is so similar to the one the Bulls did a year ago, Josh Giddey, for Alex Caruso, because they're acquiring a player who his former team as a championship contender realized, well, you know, this guy can't really be a big part of our rotation if we are going to win the championship. So I think Okoro, you know, he's younger than Lonzo. He's certainly more available. He started a ton of games for Cleveland since they took him with the draft pick, one behind Patrick Williams, number 5 overall in the 2020 NBA draft. But he's just inherently a flawed player, and I don't see a ton of upside in this deal for the Bulls.
Well, they remove a chair from their guard room, if that's the way you want to look at it. That's the biggest upside there is, and maybe a guy who can defend on the wing better than what they had, and that starts with Patrick Williams. I don't know. I'm looking for... put a smiley face on this somewhere, Ricky.
Sure. So what I would say is, like, if the Bulls' backcourt is Josh Giddey and Kobe White, who is your point of attack defender defending the other team's best guard? The Eastern Conference has so many good guards. Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson. We know Tyrese Halliburton's out now, but there's, you know, Tyrese Maxey. There's just a lot of good guards. And if you're going to have any chance to compete, you need someone who can guard the ball. So I think Okoro has a natural translation. It's your guy who guards the ball. He's probably a little better at that than Ayo Dosunmu, definitely better than Dalen Terry. So I think that's kind of what the Bulls are going for. If you're going to have a shaky defender in one backcourt spot with Giddey and Kobe, you need a little bit more of a defensive-minded, smaller wing, bigger guard than Isaac Okoro next to him.
Ricky O'Donnell of SB Nation joins me. He's joining me on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. So he was taken, this Isaac Okoro fellow, was taken one pick behind Patrick Williams in the 2020 draft. His career VORP, value over replacement player, is 0.0, Mr. Blutarski. And that's a damn sight better than Patrick Williams' career minus 0.5. So what we've seen from AK is we're going to collect these guys who don't do anything, and we're not going to get first-round picks. I don't know how you come out of Oklahoma, that deal for Giddey and Alex Caruso, without getting one of their many first-round picks, but AK keeps avoiding them. What do you make of whatever might be a plan that he said was going to shrink the timeline? Does any of this make sense?
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense at all. And it does follow Arturis' plan, for sure. Arturis has said he wants younger players with experience. Okoro checks that. He's going to be, I think, 20. He's 24 right now. So the issue with that, though, is if you're going to get younger players with experience, inherently that means that the team that drafted them and invested in them is giving up on them because they just think they're too flawed to be a meaningful piece of their team moving forward. So that certainly happened with Josh Giddey. I think it could absolutely happen again with Isaac Okoro. I would like the Bulls to take higher upside chances, and that comes through investing in future draft picks. We saw them trade the number 45 pick for more cash in their pocket this year in the second round. I thought that was a disappointing move. And, you know, when it comes to, like, evaluating this trade in a vacuum, sure, you could make the case for Okoro in return for Lonzo being a solid deal for the Bulls just because he's younger and healthier and more available. But I just have to think there were better deals on the table for Lonzo at some point. And big picture, you know, coming out of the Bulls' last briefly successful era with Caruso, Lonzo, DeRozan, LaVine, Vooch, the Bulls have gotten just nothing in return for getting rid of those guys. Arturis Karnišov has completely botched the teardown of what was a roster with some talented pieces on it. So just as a big picture takeaway, the reason there's not a lot of optimism with the Bulls right now is because he screwed up the teardown, and that will continue to hang over them as they go on this rebuild.
I think he was inert and then inept in that order, not fast enough to pivot and not smart enough to make something of it. And that's why we're left with what we're left with, what we're talking about today. So where does it give you, should a Bulls fan have any faith that this is going to shrink a timeline in which they get better? And I'm even going to concede the fact that the East, all the good players are hurt. So do you have faith that now he can pivot when he's shown an inability to do it in the last 5 years, 4 years?
Yeah, I think he's building a high-floor team that will be better than all of the obviously tanking teams, of which there's going to be many in 2026, because it's a very good draft class. And instead, he's trying to build a team with, like, a lower ceiling. Like, to Arturis, just making the 7 or 8 seed in the East counts as being competitive. I think that's a totally ridiculous definition of the word competitive. It should mean competing to win the conference, not competing to be roadkill in the JV league in the first place. So I just don't know what Arturis is doing, but, you know, it really is just a reflection of his bosses, and that is Michael Reinsdorf, who now runs the Bulls for his father, Jerry Reinsdorf. And, you know, for Mike, it just seems like he would rather be comfortable than competitive. And that's what signing AK to an extension signals to me. There is plenty of reason to have fired this guy after last season, but Michael Reinsdorf doesn't want to work that hard. He doesn't want to hurt someone's feelings. He's willing to give AK the benefit of the doubt. That just comes back to Michael Reinsdorf not being very competitive and being a pretty poor talent evaluator himself.
My guest is Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, and we're talking Bulls basketball here. Ricky, provided you've written a lot about the Bulls draft pick, their first overall pick. Tell me what you think, and then what you posted today, why you posted what you posted, the video and the breakdown of the Bulls first round draft pick.
Sure. So I like Noah Essengay. When I evaluated this draft class in a vacuum, I've been covering the draft for SB Nation for 13 years, I think. So I try to make objective evaluations of the players coming into the league. And when I watched Essengay, I did like him as a guy who I thought had some pretty high long-term potential. Also think he was a decent fit in the Bulls. The best thing Essengay does is score in transition. The Bulls led the league in transition frequency last year. They want to push at every opportunity, and Essengay is like a gazelle in the open floor. You just don't see guys that big and that athletic very often. 6'10", 7'1" wingspan, incredibly mobile for someone with that size. And, you know, to his credit, this dude was the second youngest player in the draft, December 2006 birthday. Hard to believe how young he is. And he was already pretty productive in a pro league, playing against pros in Germany. So I think that that's generally a positive sign for a prospect's development. I will say, though, like, this is absolutely someone the Bulls need to continue to develop, and it's pretty concerning that he doesn't really have a reliable jump shot, a reliable handle, or passing skills. So I would feel a lot better about this pick if the Bulls still had Peter Patton on staff, their shooting coach last season, who actually made some progress with Josh Giddey and some of the other members of the team. I thought he was probably the most competent person in the organization. And the Bulls fired him reportedly because he didn't always see eye to eye with Arturis Karnišovas. So I like Essengay as a pick. I think the Bulls, you know, their biggest need beyond something like positionally is like they need star power. This roster right now does not have a top 70 player in the NBA on the roster, at least according to the last list done by The Ringer, who, you know, evaluates this objectively. So I do think that Essengay does have a pathway to being a pretty high impact player, but he's going to have to develop the frame, the shooting, the handle. If two of those threes develop, I think he could be pretty good. And to go back to your other question about why I posted that thread on Twitter today, you know, Essengay, he was just basically a 17-year-old and 18-year-old playing against 30-year-olds in Germany. So I thought that it would be instructive to look at him playing peer-aged competition. He was just in the FIBA Eurobasket U18 competition. There were four first-round picks in that game that I watched when they played Israel. So I went back, watched that game, and, you know, ideally you're hoping that this guy looks like the best player on the floor. He's playing guys who are his age, even if they are other, like, highly touted prospects, which ended up being the case. But I thought he looked really good in the game. Like, you could definitely see just his size and mobility combo, which is just tough to find. And then you also saw some of the limitations in the half court. He didn't make any threes in this game. There were times where he just didn't have the strength to really finish through players. But in general, I think he's a good prospect, and now it's on the Bulls to develop him.
Why does Arturis Karnišovas not like guys who can shoot? And then if there's any claim that they're getting better, he fires the shooting coach. I don't understand why he likes guys who can't shoot in a league made for shooters, stressing shooting.
Totally. I would say that perhaps shooting is a skill that you can develop and that there's some other skills that you can't develop. The Bulls, to their credit, shot the three ball pretty well last year after moving on from DeMar DeRozan. You know, they took a ton of threes. They were number five in the league in three-point rate, which is percentage of field goal attempts from three. And they were number 13 in the league in percentage. So not great, but, you know, at least they were in the top half of the league. It's definitely concerning, though. I mean, this is just a trend for Arturis throughout his tenure, is that he's constantly trying to take guys who seem like they can impact the game in a lot of ways theoretically, but, like, they're just too limited in the half court to truly have a big impact. So we'll see. He did it again with Isaac Okoro. You know, Noah Essengay also has a question with his jump shot. So this is the bet the Bulls are making that, you know, the market inefficiency, I guess, is guys who can't shoot during a time in the league when everyone values shooting. We'll see if the Bulls can develop some of these guys as shooters, but it's a questionable bet, I would say.
Ricky, I appreciate your time and your insight. It's terrific as always. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks.
Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation. Terrific stuff. Follow him on Twitter, SBN_Ricky. It's just video stuff and insight, and he's the best. I love talking hoops with Ricky. He just brings it. We take a break, and so the Cubs story, you just can't let go of this. So, because so much came together last night, and not a lot of it was good. So that makes it very Cub. Talk about that, because it was the day after a rather interesting anniversary in Cubs history, from the best Cubs year ever. So I'll tie all that together, and even if I can, I'll fill space because I'm one of the Village people right here on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So fortunately, he's in New York. We have somebody from the team on the ground who will meet with him today. Plan is for him to travel to Chicago this weekend. And the plan is for him not to go back to Germany. He'll be with us. He'll be with us through summer league. We'll get him in front of our trainers and in front of our coaches here this weekend and do a full assessment. And, you know, we'll make a determination if we feel he's going to be ready to play in summer league. Hopefully he will be. Post summer league, you know, he'll probably go back home to Germany, and then we'll look to bring him back over here, you know, sometime in August.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score.
It feels like we should have the dating game music here, right? The Bulls, eharmony.com. We've never met the guy we just spent our first round pick on. We saw him over the Zoom thing. We've never met him. We've never experienced him. We don't know anything about him in being in his presence. But we took him, and guess what? We're going to spend this weekend meeting him. Jim Lang, yeah, bachelor number one. Tell us what you do on offense besides not shoot well. Yeah. So that was Mark Eversley. Mark Eversley, the Bulls' titular general manager. He was on with Mully and Haw on Thursday, day after the draft, right? Day after the first round, I should say that. And the entire interview was terrific. We're going to bring that to you next hour. The questions they asked, you could hear some of the, I don't want to say hypocrisy. That's the wrong word. You can see, hear how, like, they don't seem to be in the same front office, him and AK. And they don't seem to have a lot of reality involved in what they're doing. I'll give you this example. So they were happy to announce Noah Essengay as their first-round draft pick, right? Kid from France. There you go. He knows how to order wine. We can all go out to dinner tonight when we finally meet him. The Bulls were happy to announce that, right? Announced they drafted another guy who can't shoot. That's as much an AK tradition as desperately trying to win a play-in spot and getting cash considerations. I swear the next banner they raise in the United Center will say cash considerations. They really ought to do that. What they wouldn't announce is contract extensions for Billy Donovan and Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. Those princes of the play-in, much sought-after play-in spot. It's not the real playoffs, but you can see it from a distance. So I'm guessing the Bulls didn't announce these extensions because they're embarrassed, right? Isn't that why? They're embarrassed. They're embarrassed that a six-time champion is settling for these guys because fans keep filling the place. If you can sucker people to show up for a gift wrap box of crap, then why change? Why do anything? Ricky O'Donnell of SB Nation said earlier, last segment, he said, well, we just don't think, he doesn't think Michael Reinsdorf wants to work that hard. I don't know if that's true or not, but okay, if you're filling the place, that's as much as you're going to get. Why would you spend more money? Why would you spend more time? Why would you spend more effort? And in the last 4 years, what has AK shown that he can change? He didn't pivot when Lonzo Ball got hurt. When Lonzo Ball showed he was Michael Jordan, because the Bulls went from being first in the East to that year sixth. They plummeted, and they've not been above the play-in at any time since, and they've not won a play-in game, and the Miami Heat keep beating them, smacking him around, going, you're still the Bulls. And the Bulls, they're embarrassed that they re-signed this guy who can't do anything. The one change Arturis Karnišovas made that we could see that was significant was he made the team faster, right? They played at a better pace. And they got rid of DeMar DeRozan. That certainly happened. But they played faster. And yet, they were just a play-in team. So they changed the style. They tried to keep up with the modern NBA. And they sucked like last year. That should tell you everything about where your money's going, Bulls fans. Bulls want to keep paying these guys. I'm not here to tell you how to spend your disposable income. You buy a ticket, you take the ride. I wouldn't buy that ticket. It's a lot of money for an organization that doesn't have much self-esteem, in my view. An organization that seems to be clueless. Eversley was on the score, and again, that replay in about an hour. And it was an excellent and indicting interview. In that interview, you'll hear it, but I wanted to pull this out. Talking about the roster, Bulls roster. Unfortunately, it's pretty much set. Pretty much the same as last year. Now Lonzo Ball has been traded. That was the news today for Isaac Okoro. So he'll be on the roster instead of Lonzo Ball. And you can pony up season ticket money to get the Isaac Okoro experience. But what Eversley talked about was the play-in loss to the Heat. Play-in, of course, being the Bulls' goal. And you can just listen to what Eversley says, and then we'll break it down.
You know, I would look at how we end the season this past year, 15-5 down the stretch. Obviously, you know, a bitter loss in the play-in game. But the players who played in that game, Giddey, White, Herder, Modest, Vooch, you know, those guys all logged big minutes. They're all coming back. They're all going to be with us. That's the plan. You know, now we layer in guys like Patrick Williams, Jalen Smith. You know, Ayo Dosunmu is coming back from injury. Zach Collins was a nice addition at the trade deadline. The beauty is we don't have to rely on Noah the same way. We don't have to rely on these young guys in the immediate future. They're going to be given a pathway to develop and contribute when they earn those minutes. So for the fans, I say, you know, the way we ended the season last year, playing a bunch of young guys, you know, developing a style of play that's exciting, you know, that's what I point to. Yes, there's going to be, you know, there's likely to be, you know, tough games and tough nights, but there's also going to be fun nights, you know, similar to, you know, Giddey's half-court heave against the Lakers. Those are the things I want fans to point to and just know that every single day these guys are in here, you know, working their tails off, trying to get better and grow as a team.
Mark Eversley, Bulls titular general manager on the score. You'll hear the full interview in an hour. He was on with Mully and Haw on Thursday. So let's start with bitter loss. Bitter loss. That's code for we got exposed for being brainless and heartless. Remember the Bulls, that 15-5 stretch Mark Eversley was so proud of at the end of the season? That won them a home court advantage in the prized play-in. And what happened in that play-in? They came out with such little heart. They were down 71-47 at halftime at home. They had so little guts, they had no rally in them. Those are the guys that Mark Eversley cited. All the names he cited, those were the guys who couldn't do any, didn't have the heart to do anything, the ability to do anything, the mind to do anything in that playoff disaster at home. The bitter loss, as I said, the show after that, Saturday Suckage, after that game, the complete pantsing, underscored how bad the front office is, how really useless the coaching is. And it exposed the players. That's their makeup. And Eversley is using that as a positive. You just heard it. He tried to sell that and how great it was that we got this opportunity to suffer this bitter loss. Yes, where you got exposed. The front office got exposed for bringing in players who could be heartless at the most important moment. At home, you had your fans. Of course, it was a full house. The Bulls lead the league in attendance. Again, I'm not going to tell Bulls fans how to spend their money, but when you spend it the way you do on a gift-wrapped box of crap, you're going to keep getting the same gift-wrapped box of crap because there's no need for them to change it. Whoever the players are, they are. We've not seen a great amount of change in the results, have we? Same president of hoops operations, same general manager, same coach. The players have changed. The results haven't. And that's what they're giving you. More of the same. So you just look forward to that gift wrap, box of crap that the Bulls, their management, ownership, everybody's going to give you. And this is from a guy who said he wants to shrink the timeline. You listen to the Eversley interview, and he didn't talk about shrinking a timeline. It's as though he doesn't even know Arturis Karnišovas and doesn't know where he works or what he thinks. The interview that Molly and Haw did with him was really revealing, especially when David Haw asked him a question about the fact that the East is all blown up. Great opportunity there. Did that affect the way you want to go about things?
Shrink the timeline.
Right. Maybe you should explain that to your general manager, AK. He didn't seem
He didn't seem to understand it
in the interview with Molly and Haw. Again, play that for you at about 1:30. In the meantime, we'll take a break when we come back. You know, the last time they let me on the air, talked about a wake and bake club moment, an idea of a guy who finished a sentence, a guy who had ideas about. And the most central one was, I got so high that I popped a gummy walking into work, and I sat down in my office, sat down at my desk, and I called in sick. thought he was in his bedroom. So I'll give you the number now, Wake and Bake Club members, 312-644-6767. I'll explain to you how we're going to do something like this. You can use the text line. I know you love using the text line. I've seen a whole lot of GARPACs. One says, it could be worse, it could be GARPACs. Well, these guys are worse than them. And Eversley, AK and Eversley remind me of GARPACs. Yeah, there's a lot of the same. What hasn't changed is ownership and their approach to this. You fill the place, they have no reason to change. So anyways, the Wake and Bake Club, we have a meeting. We have to discuss something like that. So I will bring this to you. And it's audience participation, which if you haven't filled the bowl and emptied it, then maybe you want to participate. And if not, I understand.
And maybe double check you're at home and not your cubicle.
That's right. Maybe not your cubicle calling you sick that day because you think you're in the bedroom. 312-644-6767. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, only you can. I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man, Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh. Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Welcome, Wake and Bake Club members. And everyone else, too. Saturday Suckage, our Wake and Bake Club meeting. Last time they let me on the air, Last time I turned on a mic, we had a guest for the first time during Wake and Bake Club, Dan Epstein, who co-wrote Rolling Stone's piece on the 20 best weed-themed songs. You know, I never asked about Puff the Magic Dragon. I had that down, never got to it. I couldn't read my own writing. I wanted to ask Dan that. Anyways, that's not why you called. I don't know why you called, but I want you to call now. 312-644-6767, or you can text. Because one of the things we talked about was a guy named Ryan Maxwell. He's an Englishman. And he posted some answers on TikTok. Finish the sentence is what he did. One time I got so high that I... One example, as I said before, someone popped a gummy walking into work, sat down at his desk, and called in sick, thinking he was in his bedroom. One time I got so high that I, and I want to do this as audience participation, either on the text line or the phone calls, 312-644-6767. If you're not too stoned to do it, I would appreciate that. Another time, another one said, one time I got so high that after a hit off the bong, I spent the night trying to figure out if my living room was left-handed or right-handed.
That's amazing.
I'm never going to get these out without laughing. And this one, this one takes some excellent thought. Another one said, one time I got so high that I tried to heat some milk in the microwave, but the glass was too tall. So I took it out and poured some milk out and tried to put it back in again. Never. I can't get through all these. The glass is too tall. Let me pour some milk out. All right. So what's yours? 312-644-6767. Text it or call. One time I got so high that I blank. Now I feel like Gene Rayburn.
Smoke weed every day.
Kids, ask your parents about that reference. Dad, Rosenblum just mentioned Gene Rayburn. He's doing a pot segment. Said you'd know. What was that about?
Smoke weed every day.
You know what we need in this item? We need Willie Nelson. We need Willie Nelson singing Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die.
Roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Thank you. It's about the Rolling Derby, which was founded by a group of cannabis industry veterans. It was announced that they have organized a series of speed rolling tournaments. Adults 21 and older can compete against each other virtually or in person to see who can successfully fashion a joint the fastest. Quote, at its core, the Rolling Derby is an authentic celebration of speed, craft, and culture, challenging participants to roll the perfect joint against the clock, the group said in a press release. The inaugural season, it was like a season, like this is a series, this is a playoff series. They play regular season joint rolling and playoff joint rolling, right? Do you have that post?
I mean, I'd love to see it.
Postseason blunts and okay. The inaugural season will feature both a global online competition open to cannabis enthusiasts worldwide, as well as a series of high-profile live events across California venues, sponsored by Raw Rolling Papers. Competitions will last 4 months with a championship final where the top 16 fastest joint rollers will compete. Listen up, for those of you still sober. Sean, are you tracking down the...
I'm watching the text line right now. I'm looking at the text line
right now.
Print
them out or read. You're going to have to read them.
I can read them to you.
All right. Because this is technology. Me and technology are not the best friends, and that's when I'm straight. Anyway, submissions to enter the tournament will be accepted through Monday. That's it. June 30th, Monday. To enter, prospective competitors in the fastest joint rolling competition must post a video of themselves rolling a 1 gram joint, starting with whole nugs. That is a great band name. Whole nugs. Opening at Lollapalooza. They'll be whole nugs. We'll be here all day at Lollapalooza. Or on X or YouTube with hashtag rolling derby. This seems old school when you can buy pre-rolls, right? I mean, you can get that. In fact, they're Cheech and Chong offer some novelty item where their birthday candles, and inside each birthday candle is a pre-roll. I saw that. We went to a dispensary called Planet 13. Yeah, I don't know why 13.
Do you know why? No.
I'm not going to ask. If only Les were around for me to ask.
Oh, he would tell you.
He'd have thoughts on Neptune and Pluto and Planet 13. I don't know how many people roll their own these days. And you'd have to go back to a time where you didn't have a calculator app on your phone, where this how old this was. You had to do long division. So if you do this, if you enter, if you go anywhere, let us know so we can root for the WB Club. We can have Wake and Bake Club members. We'll have a rooting section for you in the World Speed Rolling Competition. Okay. Do we have any?
There's some good ones here, yeah.
Okay. Well, we have people responding. Finish the sentence. It's Gene Rayburn and his long mic as I hold it out. One time I got so high that I, Sean.
One time I got so high that I paid for my gasoline and drove off without pumping.
That's good. Okay.
Let's see here. I'll go through a couple more here. There. One time I got so high. My ex was so high when we got caught ditching school, and she was so high when the cop asked her the date of birth, she gave her measurements.
What day were you born? 36, 24, 36. You know, this would like be okay if this were like Dazed and Confused, right? Dude, where's my car? That would be okay, there's a joke. But the fact that it's real life that you did this, that's wonderful. I love that stuff. Do we
One
have any
time
more, Sean?
I got so high I thought I was going to jail while watching Cops. It wasn't until the commercials came on I realized the cops weren't really here. Now when I take a gummy, I wait for the kids to
I wait for the kick. One time I got so now when I take a gummy, what?
Now when I take a gummy, I wait for it to kick in before I start watching or eating three more. So apparently he had like three or four gummies there.
Wow. Wow, that's learning something.
I got so high that I convinced myself that I could only breathe if I told myself to not do so. So I walked around for 45 minutes repeating, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. I was exhausted, but there's no way I was going to fall asleep. I suffocated. This is getting cut off here, but yeah, it sounds like they had to tell themselves to remind themselves to breathe.
One time I got so high that I watched half a movie in Russian before I noticed it was dubbed. Okay. I suppose you could do that. 312-644-6767, taking our last entries for fill in the blank. And it is one time I got so high that I, and we've had some wonderful response. For Saturday, 847, for Saturday Suckage, Planet 13, maybe because M is the 13th letter of the alphabet. Okay.
For marijuana, I guess, right? But
Really?
I don't know. I'm looking this up here, but I've got another one here for you. One time, I was so high that I immediately, after a huge bong hit, I thought I was starting a cartoon that was going, I was staring at a cartoon going through my LED screen. It turned out I was just staring at a window. So he thought his TV, something was wrong with his TV, but it was just his window.
Could change the channel on his window?
I'm guessing he saw the reflection or something, maybe. That'd be my guess.
Okay. Still rolling our own with the shake, 815. Did I miss something there, too?
I know some people have said like shake is what's typically in the pre-rolls now, but yeah, which would make the pre-roll competition even more impressive if they're rolling straight nugs, not the broken up weed itself.
Hmm. Well, if you decide to participate in that and you're an Awakened Bake Club member, we want to support you. You're not alone. And I think it's important to know that in this challenging time that you're not alone when you're rolling your own.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, see, that's how it goes. We actually have somebody call in about I Got So High. Is that, do we have that? 312-644-6767. I mean, I have a snow skier, and one time, this is 847, and I got, one time I was in Breckenridge, Colorado. When I got so high, I took the longest run, which is about 3 miles. I started at 1 o'clock and didn't get down till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, you must have added some new trails there, Mr. Mrs.
I've got Frank here, who would like to contribute to our I Got So High segment here.
Frank, you finished the sentence. One time I got so high that I
was with a friend, and he prepaid for gas, pumped the gas, and left the nozzle in the tank and drove away.
And what did you see in the back, or was it just gas spurting out of the now armless?
No, he prepaid for an amount. It stopped, but he forgot to take the nozzle out, and then he drove away.
Excellent. And do you still see that friend? You still hang with that friend? You still get gas with that friend, Frank?
Well, I've retired, but he's retired also. But I left Wisconsin to come to North Carolina. And he's still there, and he's still blowing away.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Got Stephen Valpo here.
All right. Thank you very much. Stephen Valpo, welcome. I finished the sentence. One time I got so high that I
cooked my pizza upside down on the pizza cooker.
How did it come out?
It did not come out that well. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this cheese? Luckily, I caught it in time to flip it over and kind of cook the rest of it. But yeah,
cooked your pizza upside down.
Yep.
Well, that's
a frozen pizza.
That's quite a talent. Thank you for sharing.
I think
you
technically grilled his pizza then, right? With the grates, yeah.
Right. That's the way it works. Yeah. Yeah. One time I got... No, I don't want to do that. That brings in something I don't want to bring up. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate the audience participation. Thank you very much. Finishing the sentence. One time I got so... Now, we're on... like some kind of tape delay with a lot of the people listening in the Odyssey app.
That's correct. Yeah.
It's free. And remember, with Saturday Suckage, you get what you pay for. It's same as on the radio, right? You get what you pay for. We're free. And so what if it sucks? Tough. So there may be some of these rolling in. I really like the idea that now people want to participate. Now they're hearing it. We're full roll. So we'll save them for the next hour. And I'll finally get to the Cubs thing I wanted to talk about. Yesterday's anniversary of a first tied in with yesterday's Cubs game for real. We'll do that, and we'll slip in some one time I got so high answers, because if you're a Cub fan, you really need to be self-medicated for what happened last night and the way this looks going forward. This is Saturday Suckage. Thank you for joining us for the Wake and Bake Club. If you enter the speed rolling competition, you have till Monday. Let us know. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Smoke weed every day.